Psalms 85 and verse 6. Psalms 85 and verse 6. If you've got it, say yes. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Will you not revive us again, O God? David's hungry for an old-fashioned revival. And he said, so that the people will rejoice in you. And so I want to talk for just a few moments about true revival. Some of my observations about where we are in the body of Christ and where we are as a church and where many of us are individually. It's my personal observation that due to our focus and passion on reaching the unreached, on reaching the lost, on winning people who are separated because of their sins from God, we focus so much on reaching those people. We have enjoyed progress as a church. We have had unprecedented growth. You are not in a dying church. You're in a church that is alive. You're in a church that's growing and thriving. Our church is larger than it's ever been. Our church is more blessed financially than it's ever been. We have more beautiful buildings than we've ever had. Our programs are finely tuned, and it seems as though we're doing better at what we do than ever for God's glory. But the burden of my soul goes beyond all of those things. Because while evangelism is increasing, evangelism being winning the lost, evangelism is increasing, but revival is decreasing. You have to understand that there's a distinct difference between evangelism and revival. They're not the same. If somebody says, we had 100 people get saved last Sunday, man, we're really having revival in our church, that technically, that's not true. Because revival is what happens to the saints. Evangelism is what happens to the sinners. And what I've observed is, as I travel and even in this church, I see a whole lot happening to the sinners. But I see not quite enough happening to the saints. There's a difference between an evangelist and a revivalist. An evangelist wins souls, but a revivalist comes in and his primary call is to relight the zeal and the fire and the passion of the saints of God. And so I tell you that the formula for real church growth is revival plus evangelism. Again, evangelism is a sinner repenting. Watch now. But revival is a saint or a believer repenting. How long has it been since you, the believers that I'm preaching to, walked out of an aisle with tears streaming down your face? Instead of letting the sinners pass you by every Sunday and those who come into Christ, how long has it been since you stepped out of the aisle, walked down with tears flowing, with hands raised, and repented of things in your life that you need to repent of? That is revival. Evangelism is a sinner receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But revival is the saint or the Christian being renewed and refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Too many Christians are celebrating what happened 20 years ago in their life without having any renewal of the Holy Spirit in their life presently. Anybody who has the real Holy Ghost wants more of the Holy Ghost. And something is wrong with you if you don't want more. Someone said to me, one of our members who's been in the church a long time, they said, you won't believe what happened during the revival. One of these new people came over to me and started saying, can I lay my hands on you and pray for you? And They said, can you believe I've been here as long as I've been here and this new convert's trying to palm my head? And I said, well, if you'd move a little bit, people would quit trying to palm your head so much. He just figured you were a heathen. Evangelism is the lost being charged and changed. But revival is the saint being charged and changed. Some folks sit around and judge new converts. They need to change this. They need to change that. But I want to say to some of you who've been in this thing a long time, when's the last time you added something to your conviction list? When's the last time you started giving something up just to draw closer to Jesus? That is revival. And so I want to lay out my case this morning for why I feel we need revival in the church. When we have full seats and empty altars, we need a revival. When the majority of our congregation are spectators and the minority are worshipers, we need a revival. When praise and worship is going on and the majority are just letting the people on the stage do the worship and the minority are the worshipers, that church needs a revival. Because when a soul is revived, it searches for expression of that inner working of the Holy Spirit, and it always comes out through worship. You may not worship like I worship. You may not scream like I scream. See, I'm a preacher, and you may like teaching. The only difference between teaching and preaching is a teacher tells it and a preacher yells it. That's the only difference. I like to yell. But it doesn't matter. We're not talking about style. We're talking about if you love the Lord. He didn't say all the Pentecostals are praise and the Baptists won't. No. Praise is not a Baptist thing or Pentecostal or a charismatic. It's a Bible thing. And when your heart is revived, there ought to be some praise coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Come on and shout hallelujah. Come on and shout hallelujah. Now we need a revival. We need a revival. Here's one. When guests compliment, but saints complain, we need a revival. You know, it amazes me. We can have services. It's very common for us to see 50, 60, 70 people get born again on a Sunday. Have heaven on earth, and on my way out, somebody, I need a word with you. I don't like the music. I don't like the preaching. You don't preach like you used to preach. The bottom line is this, which that one always gets me, you know. But the bottom line is this. Did people get saved? That's what it's all about. Did people get blessed? That's what it's all about. And when you got guests that are complimenting, they come in bug-eyed. My God, I've never seen anything like this. Oh, good Lord, this is amazing. I got chill bumps. And saints are complaining. When the sinners are impressed and the saints are depressed, turn and look at your neighbor and see if that's one of them right there. We need a revival. Acts chapter 6 said that when the church began to grow and multiply, there was murmuring and grumbling. So when a church starts multiplying, look out, you're going to have some murmuring. And when a church starts growing, you're going to have some grumbling. I don't like that kind of song. Or why don't you do this? Why don't we do? We used to do that. We used to do this. Matthew chapter 20 says this. Matthew chapter 20. But when the first came, notice who it is now. They supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. The ones that had been there the longest were the ones that did the murmuring. And revival is not just the sinners getting fired up. This is the greatest thing. Revival is when the saints get fired up and they start saying, this is the greatest thing. I love God's house. Thank God for thousands getting saved. But when it's all over, are the saints any different? As a matter of fact, when we have more to shout about and we do it less, we need a revival. I'm just going to preach right here. I want to tell you the truth. You're driving better cars than you've ever driven. You're living in a nicer home than you've ever had. You got better clothes than you've ever had. You're more blessed than you've ever been. Can you explain to me why your praise is becoming less and less, and your enthusiasm and passion is becoming less and less, and your hand raised and shouts is becoming less and less? The more God blesses you, the more you ought to praise Him. It shouldn't be less and less. It should be more and more and more and more and more. Turn to somebody and say, you've got more to praise God for than you've ever had in your life. Now just look at them and say, when are you going to do it? Somebody praise Him if you've got more to praise Him for. I refuse to be more blessed and less of a worshiper. What is with that? I refuse to let some newborn Christian who all he knows that Jesus can do is save outshout me. I know He can heal. I know He can provide. I know He can move the mountain. I know He can save my family. I know He... Why? The more God does for us, the less we praise Him. It's called the sin of familiarity. You get too familiar with it. We need revival. When God's doing more. I mean, if He didn't do anything else for us, we used to walk in here and look around this place and say it's debt free. We don't owe a penny to anybody. Considering that this church started in a skating ring, the original Holy Rollers, and then we went to a cinder block building on the wrong side of town in the ghetto. But look what the Lord has done. And you want me to calm it down, and you want me to, I'll dance with the one who brought me, thank you. I've got more to praise Him for today than I've ever had in my life, and I'm not about to dry up like an old raisin. Come on and praise Him if He's been good to you. This is not for me, this is for Him. Woo, hallelujah. Here's another one. Here's when you know a church needs revival. When you have to come to church late to get a front row seat. We need revival when people want to move further and further and further and further back. And now we even got some who they enjoy eating out in the cafeteria while the service is going on. And I'm glad. I appreciate you being in overflow, but wrong service. See, when you really get on fire, it's like if you had ticket front row seats to the Super Bowl, would you go and the usher tries to sit you down front? Would you say, oh no, I prefer to be way up there where all the backsliders and heathens sit. The cigarette smokers, so they can... How many of you know I don't care this morning? Here's another way you know you need revival. When our church members play multiple choice with the church services, For example, if your children come to you on church day and say, "Are we going to church today?" That's a dead giveaway. You need a revival. That's an indictment against your spiritual walk with God. If your kids, "It's raining, are we going?" Because they know you. That's a sign you need revival. That those children ought to know, it doesn't matter if it's raining. We get up and we go to God's house. We go to church when they're having church. We're going to keep this family in church come hell or high water. And if they're questioning, it's just a sign you're half backslid. Touch somebody and say, "We need a revival." This is another thing that gets me. I've heard this saying all my life: God can do more with a fool on fire than a scholar on ice. And I understand what they're saying. They're saying, you know, to really be passionate about God, there's some people that think the more scholarly, the more they know the Bible, the study, the deeper studies and get the degrees and stuff, that means you get a stained glass voice and you become this statesman type, and only the shallow folks rejoice, and only the shadow kind of ignorant people are demonstrative about their worship to God. But what's wrong with the devil's worst nightmare being a scholar on fire? Listen, all I want to say to all, and I preached at conferences and conventions and all kinds of denominations and stuff, and a lot of times the preachers will sit around you. That's real fun. And sometimes I just want to say, if you know more about God than anybody else, you ought to be shouting more than anybody else. If you have greater revelation and deeper maturity than anybody else, then it shouldn't kill you. It shouldn't bind you. Jeremiah said, "Your word was in me, and it was like a fire shut up in my bones." So don't tell me you know more than those shallow people know, and you're very deep. You need to get deeper. You need to go so deep that it gets in your feet, and it gets in your hands, and it gets in your mouth. Hallelujah. Say what you want to say. If you have less joy than you used to have, you need a revival. Now let's just check that right now. Do I have less joy than I used to have? And you know, usually during praise and worship, you can distinguish the new converts from the folks who've been in it for years. All you got to do is watch worship on your row. And if you see somebody... they just got saved. And if you see somebody who's been in it a while, all you got to do to recognize them is just... shame, shame, shame. When our youth are raised on our pews and our seats, question our standards, doubt our doctrines, we need a revival. We don't need more skits. That's all fine. That's all good. We don't need more syllabuses. We don't need more little talks. These kids today are dealing with immorality on a level that we can't comprehend. They're under peer pressure beyond anything we can imagine. And our little Cool Whip services just don't cut it anymore. If we're going to save the next generation, sometimes we need to put all of that stuff aside, and they need a hot, oily hand of anointing to be laid upon them, and they need to be filled with the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. God do it in this church. Holiness is not a book of guidelines. Holiness is the Holy One in us. And when the Holy One is in you, lying won't be a normal part of your life. Beer drinking won't be a normal part of your life. Going to the club and getting hooked up won't be a normal part of your life. Rebellion and cheating and deceiving will not be a normal part of your life. God, we've got to get this in this generation. Having sex, casual sex with multiple partners will not be a part of your life if the Holy One is in us. He makes you holy. You begin to live a life of holiness because the Holy One is in us. We got too many preachers preaching for us and not enough preachers preaching to us. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. In Nehemiah chapter 6, he was asked by his enemies to go down to the plain of Ono. Ono. He promptly rejected that invitation. He said, I'm doing a great work and I refuse to descend into Ono. We need a revival when the saints of God have the oh no response. Oh no, another 21 day fast. Oh no, another revival. Oh no, another message on holiness. Oh no, another offering for missions. Let me tell you, when you get revival, it turns the oh no into a oh yes. Oh yes, Pastor. We got another week of fasting and prayer that I get to beat up on the devil. Oh yes. Crank the music up. Let's praise God. Let's have a revival. Let's seek God's face. You need to get your oh no turned into an oh yes. And when you have revival in your soul, that is exactly what happens. It's not oh no, we got to go to church. It's oh yes. Hallelujah. One sign on a business said, if you don't think the dead come back to life, be here at closing time. I'd like to hang that on some of the churches I preached in. I've watched folks in this church. They sit during the service bored, lifeless, unemotional, until they hear the pastor's favorite words, you are dismissed. Where are we going to eat? Y'all coming over for the ball game this afternoon? Bring the popcorn. I got the fudgy, whatever it is, fudges, fudge, brownies. I hadn't ate it in so long, I can't even remember what it is. Not even in my vocabulary. Have you ever seen people like that? The whole service, the dead in Christ. As soon as the service is on, yeah, yeah. Let me help you. When you're more excited after church than you are during church, you hear me, young people? When you're more excited after church than you are during church, you need a revival. Churches are not about hanging out with your friends, showing off your clothes, finding you a date, getting you a business deal. Church is about Him. And when we fall in love with Him, oh, it's a thrill to be in His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This ought to be the highlight of our week. Nothing's better than being in God's presence. Not a ball game, not a concert, not a new CD, not a new video game. Nothing is greater than being in His presence when you're revived. Well, Pastor, could you please calm down? No. Now I'm almost through. But I want to tell you something. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 4. Now I'm going to make anybody who hasn't been offended, this is an equal opportunity sermon to offend any and all. I'm trying to hit every person. Don't want to leave you out. You know when the glory filled the temple? Something happened. The post of the door moved. At the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The glory of the Lord. The next verse says the train of his glory filled the temple. See, here's what we do. Here's how we do, especially when we become mature Christians. We just get used to sitting back and watching all those poor sinners stream down to the altar, all broken and crying and seeking God. And we think because we're saved, it's all right for us just to be kicked back. But you know what that scripture said? It said when the post represent what holds the church up. The people who hold the church up. The post represent the people who've been there a long time. The post represent those folks that help dig the thing out and hold the thing up. The post started moving. Not sitting there saying, that's sweet. That's cute. Good service. Good little sermon, Pastor. Thank God had another 60 saved this Sunday. Wow. But when the post start moving. Who are the post? The post are the platform celebrities. The post are the pastors and their wives and their children. Your post. When's the last time the pastors and their wives, including this one, were moved greatly by the power of God? The post are the board members and their wives. The post are the altar teams, the ushers, the greeters, the small group leaders, the praise team, the choir, the musicians. When's the last time we felt a moving when we did more than just get up and do what we do? But we had a moving first in us of the Holy Spirit. Then something happens. God uses that moving in us. And he says, here comes my glory. And it's going to pass by the posts that are being moved by my spirit. See, we have a unique challenge in the body of Christ. The challenge in this church is not to get new people on fire for God. If they come long enough, it'll happen. The challenge is to keep some of those saints that have been at it a long time from growing cold. Our challenge is not to get new converts to praise God. Our challenge is to truly get those saints that have been here for years to continually, from their heart, with passion and zeal, worship God with a hunger and a desperation. What needs to happen is everybody needs to walk into a service one time like this and act like you don't know nothing about God. You've never been saved. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't know how to pray. You're just so desperate to get. What would happen if your mentality wasn't, I've seen all this, but where's God? Where's God? Oh, where's God? So, I had this idea. I want all of the people. You say, well, I'm just getting old and I'm not much into that worship anymore. I've got you a scripture. I'm picking on everybody all the way up to the senior saints. Look around for somebody gray-headed or bald-headed. Just look around for him. Let him know he's about to preach to you now. Hebrews 11 and verse 21 says this. Listen to this. And by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, I told him in the first service, Jacob was a Tar Heel from North Carolina like me, because that's how we talk. Jacob was not dying, a dying. He was a southern boy. When he was a dying, he blessed both of his sons. Watch this. And worship, leaning on the top of his staff. He's saying, you know, I used to really give God. I used to do a jig for Jesus. You wouldn't believe that down in the... But now I got arthritis. I got need my hip replaced. But you know, I'm going to lean on my staff. And bless God, I can't do it like I used to do it. But whoop, whoop, whoop. That's how I'm going to be. When I get old, bless God, if I have to come out here on a walker. This is a run around the church for those who are 50 and over. We can modify it how we need to modify it, but the deal is, from your heart, you don't need to praise God less. You need to praise Him more. Come on, post. Move. So here's what I want to do. I want everybody who's been saved and on fire for God for 10 years or more to stand up on your feet. Now listen. Guess what you are? You're a post. And I want everybody sitting to point your finger at them. Just point your finger. Come on, point your finger and say these words. There's our revival. If we can get them to moving, if we can get them passionate, if we can get them on fire, if we can get them back to their first love, if we can get them to loving Jesus like they did when they first saw the light, if we can get them to praising like they used to do when they would drive around and tears would be streaming. Nobody in the car but you and Jesus. Come on, post. Your children are waiting on this revival. Your grandchildren are waiting. The next generation is waiting on a move in the post. And the deal I don't get is if you ask all these new people, what you praising God for? I don't know. I just love it. I just love it. They don't even know why they're excited. They don't know what you know. They haven't walked through what you've walked through, and you came out on the other side saying, great is thy faithfulness.
We hope you've been blessed by this teaching by Pastor Franklin. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial giving make these programs possible.